Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Ammon Bundy, Resurrect the Republic, advocating for Schaefer Cox, political prisoner.
Hello, my friends. It's been a while since I've done a video, but I have been working hard and trying to get on our feet and get things in order here in my home, and have been speaking around the Western United States and trying to reach people that way. But I felt a need to address you directly on a couple matters. I've been watching a video and following a little bit about what's happening to an individual by the name of Schaefer Cox, who has been imprisoned by the federal government for many, many years. And I want you to listen to this man. I want you to understand what he was saying and why they came after him and ultimately have put him in prison for 20 plus years. And then follow the Spirit of the Lord and see where it takes you and what you should do in helping this man if you're so moved. I know there are many other issues. I know that we have individuals such as Todd Engel who are imprisoned based upon lies by prosecutors to a jury. And those issues are very concerning to me as well. I don't want to minimize those or take light from them. They need to be pushed. And what's happening in these courts is very unjust and ultimately falls upon the shoulders of the American people. So watch this video. Listen to what he's saying, the principles that he's teaching. And ask yourself if he is an individual that should be put in prison for his entire life, or a major portion of it. Thank you.
Welcome back to the 2009 Continental Congress here in St. Charles, Illinois, Pheasant Run Resort. It's been a lot of fun here, but a lot of stuff is going on. Hey guys, can you mute that? We'll do it live! And so we're having a good time here, but a lot, at least I am. When I watch you guys, and I know you're under a lot of stress, and I know there's a lot of tension. Apparently one guy just got so fed up, he just ripped the stuff up and threw it on the floor last night. I mean, it can't be easy.
Oh, no, it's not easy. You know, people got a lot of stuff on their shoulders. Some people, I think, are getting frustrated with some of their, issues that are really near and dear to them. And that's good. You know, we should be passionate about things. If it's important, you ought to be passionate about it. And then almost everybody here came here under just tremendous pressure from the people back at home to bring something back. You know, I mean, we all know in our gut what's going on, and we all see this horrible storm, you know, culminating around us. And people are asking for some direction and for some leadership and for some solutions that they can do, because they've figured out that voting doesn't work. They've figured out that sending letters to your congressman doesn't work. And they're grasping for what's the next option. You know what that option, next option really is?
No, but I'm sure you'll tell me.
That next option is just exploring the wonderful power of disobedience. Just massive, massive disobedience. And it's not disobedience to the higher law. It's disobedience to the rebels, our government, that are thumbing their nose at the law. Now, there'd been some discussion about that because some people are really scared. And here's the main thing. People tend to equate government with law, that government and law are synonymous. And that is absolutely false. Absolutely false. Law pre-existed government. It is not because of law that we have freedom. It is because of freedom that we have law. Hang on, you can tell what generation I'm from when my phone rings there. Nintendo songs come
on. I think that the arcade around, I think I've been hearing that as I walk by. So.
All right, so People think that government and law are synonymous, and that is not the case. And like I was saying, it is not because of freedom, it is not because of law that we have freedom. It is because of freedom that we have law. We had that freedom in the first place, and that is why individuals got together and created government to protect them. No government has a right to do what an individual does not have a right to do. Because all of us collectively cannot muster some sort of different moral code to be held to us as a body. Law is force, pure and simple. And the only time that the use of force is appropriate is in self-defense. Now, we as individuals can get together and delegate that force, that self-defense, that defensive force, to a government for the purpose of protecting our liberties. But it is totally irrational to think that we as individuals can delegate to a government something that we ourselves do not have, which is the right to arbitrarily aggress those that we choose. And that is what our government is doing.
And they're not stopping.
And they're not stopping. And they're backing people into a corner. And nobody wants a fight. People are just peaceful by nature. You know, nobody wants a fight. We would rather put up with it than have a fight. But when you get continually just cornered into this and there's no way out, you kind of get left with one distasteful option.
You can take the nicest dog in the world, and if you just keep being mean and scaring it and pushing it and pushing it into a corner, it's probably going to bite you.
Yeah, if you tax us under the table, don't be surprised when we bite your balls. That's the truth of it.
I love this guy. The lines and the anecdotes you come up with are just classic. I mean, they really are. They say it all in just one sentence.
Great. Well, then here's one I was thinking about. You know, the guy got up there and he was reading from Samuel, and he was talking about the people were asking for a king, and God said, no, you don't want a king. He said, you don't want a big government. He said, they'll take your sons and appoint them to his chariots. They'll take your daughters and he'll make them bakers. He'll take your vineyards away from you, and you will lose your farms and you'll lose your ass. Right out of the Bible.
Literally.
If you want a big government, you're going to lose your ass. I mean, it's right in there. It just doesn't mince words. Now another thing that I really want to appeal to the delegates here, because we're talking about some pretty heavy stuff here, you know. And, you know, time to time throughout history, you know, a generation will be called upon to look at these, you know, difficult things in the eyes. But that's our duty, you know, and we can't shirk that. But there's been some talk about, you know, well, we need to disable the audio. Well, we talk about, you know, what our plan is going to be or whatever. We don't want to be sending that out to the world. We don't want the government to see that or whatever. Look, the feds are here. I am absolutely confident that there are delegates here that are on the federal clock reporting back, you know? So they know what's going on.
Well, we don't have anybody sweeping for bugs if they really wanted to anyway.
And so to disable the audio, all that's going to do is eliminate the opportunity to inspire the people that would be watching.
Well, you know, we don't want to disable the audio.
Well, I'm gonna fight hard for
you
to be able to keep that on.
We're here to broadcast what you guys are doing, and
yes,
so we surely don't want to have to just have a blank screen.
Well, I'm gonna lead the charge to make sure that everything that is said here, legal or illegal, doesn't matter. We need to be thinking about right and wrong, not legal or illegal, because those are so far from the same. And we need to broadcast that to a world that needs hope.
Yeah. Why do you think it is? If you look back at history, anywhere you look at the Bible, it's continually repeating the same things over and over again. The people of Israel. You look at our history. You look at man's history throughout the entire globe. We continually do the same dumb things over and over again. We don't learn from our mistakes. Yet, I've never been able to quite understand that.
Why that is?
Why do we not those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. We never seem to learn that lesson.
Yeah, there's nobody ever remembered history so far. Yeah, the most important lesson to learn from history is that people don't learn from history. That really is true. And if it doesn't repeat, at least it rhymes.
I mean, you can show them
You were asking why, though, and I got an answer.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay, go ahead.
No. I was just validating your point. The reason that we don't repeat it is because just the knowledge that you hold doesn't really change your human nature. And I think that our human nature and our propensity towards that is so powerful that it just is rarely overcome by a mental assent to the factuality of the cycle. It has to run its course. Now, that may sound like bad news, and if there's people watching this and that their heart sank when they heard that, let me try to redeem that, because your heart should not sink when that happens. The cycle that I've identified, and maybe there's variations on this, but just roughly, I think this is the cycle. It starts out with prosperity. It goes from prosperity to apathy, from apathy to tyranny, from tyranny to oppression, from oppression to rebellion. From oppression to destruction, from destruction to repentance, from repentance to courage, and from courage to rebellion, and then from rebellion to prosperity, and then from prosperity to apathy, and so on. The cycle mm-hmm. repeats. Now, where we are right now in that cycle is that we have oppression. We're starting into the destruction right now, and then we're gonna have the next thing we're in phase one of destruction right now, with the number of dollars that our government is creating, which, by the way, ever since Caesar, you know, inflating the currency is the lethal blow to an empire. So I'm all about that. I think it's great, man. Just rip that Band-Aid off fast, you know. Don't belabor the death.
No, they're working hard.
We're heading into the destruction. The next thing is going to be repentance, and that is going to be repenting from the values that have defined America for the past 60 years, which is personal peace and affluency. Let me elaborate on those very briefly. Personal peace means that I do not want to be bothered. I don't want anyone to encroach into my zone of comfort. I want to remain undisturbed, and I don't care what that means for my children or my children's children. It is absolutely just wickedly self-centered, and it has defined our culture for the last 60 years, maybe even more. And then the other value is affluency, and that is materialism, the abundance of things, and success being seen as the abundance of things, and to you know, praising that and worshiping that as the pinnacle of achievement, is to be surrounded with material possessions, even if it's at the expense of moral and ethical character and fortitude. Now, you couple those two ideals with the ideal of the generation before that, which was worshiping institutions, and everything had to be institutionalized, and it degraded the individual. So you take generation institution ideas, you couple them with generation I'm the center of the universe ideas, and then you couple it with this final generation, which is there's no such thing as right and wrong. Pragmatism is what we must achieve. You've got a Molotov cocktail for society, and it's hucked through the air. And when that sucker hits the pavement, boom, it's going to go. This empire is collapsing, and these people here have a duty to get beyond the harm that might come to us for striking out and being a leader. Now is no time for trepid leadership. We are going to demoralize and discourage, as a body, we would demoralize and discourage the people of America if we came out of here with an anemic, unprincipled, compromising, self-serving, I don't want any skin off of my nose document. That is not what people need right now.
Yeah, well,
people are scared, and they're scared for good reason, and they need courageous leaders that are going to say the truth and say, let come what may. We pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Life and fortune, man, that just
sticks a dagger in the heart of those baby boomer values of personal peace and affluence.
Well, it really does. And I get a lot of that you're not being civil attitude. This civility run amok, this is like, it's the new tolerance. And I get a lot of it. I make video blogs on YouTube, and people seem to think I'm advocating, let's all grab our guns and go up to D.C. and just start shooting people. And I've had to actually make videos saying that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we should speak what we want. We have a right, a God-given right, First Amendment right to say what we want to say. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have to worry about that, oh, no, we can't say that because mm-hmm. they'll construe it to this. Or you're advocating that. I'm never not doing anything of the sort.
Yeah.
I'm speaking my mind in historical context to look around you. Look around you to the history that we've seen in just the last 200 years. We can't even, we're not repeating something that happened 10,000 years ago. We're repeating something that happened less than
100 years ago.
Well, if you look at it, World War II.
6 months ago.
Six months ago.
It happened in Iceland. But, of course, mainstream media never covers that. They keep the lid on any revolutions. But you know what? Iceland, 6 months ago, they inflated their currency. You know, they just got out of control. And that's one of the characteristics of politicians. They are out of control because they are addicted to exercising force arbitrarily over other people. And they're controlled by that addiction. And the tool to achieve force over other people is generally inflating the money supply. Because if you control the purse, you control everything. Whoever writes the checks is king, and so that's how they become king. But they inflate it until it collapses. See, governments, here's an adage that you gotta remember, because it'll give you hope every time you see some horrible thing that our government's doing. Governments grow till they pop, and then you get a second shot. That's true, all right? So every time you see somebody going into the balloon of government, the end is getting closer, you know? Just pump that sucker up, man, and have it blast in your face, and let's get on with it. So we've got a duty to rebuild. Iceland, it collapsed. They inflated their currency. Boom, it collapsed. Everybody was like, man, this is such a fandango. This is such a goat rope. I think I smell a lynching on Monday morning. So that week, over the weekend, everybody flew out of Iceland. The prime minister, both houses, all the politicians. They just... Now, they said they were evacuating the country because of civil unrest. But the truth of it is they screwed it up beyond all recognition and got the hell out of Dodge.
Probably go to their Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah, they got out of the country. And the people who are left there Monday morning, this is not a test. We don't have a government anymore. And then that's how then they start rebuilding. And this body needs to be crouched to step up and return to the rule of law when our lawless government suffers the natural consequences of their irresponsibility. Oh, by the way, that's the same way that, not that we need a Castro, but just to prove the cyclical point and the validity of that, that's how Castro got in charge of Cuba. The government just grew till it popped, and Castro was the first one to show up at the Capitol.
Well, that's what I've noticed, and one of the thoughts I had about the Continental Congress here is that it's a fantastic opportunity to organize citizen leadership to replace that which has run amok, and when it finally runs away, after they've gotten the point that we're not going away, we have a leadership body here that can help organize at the state level to hopefully do something about that.
Yeah.
If we can get past the petty little things. I keep seeing motions that are put forward that are dealing with one word or two words or three words, and so nothing's getting done on these things because they're dealing with that. Instead of, to me, my approach would be to get it, let's get it done, and then let's go back and we can work on amendments, but we need to get some stuff out of here because we want to do this again.
I'm with you, man.
We need to do this again.
I was pushing on that. Yeah, people are counting on us. But here, let me address that too, because there's some wrong presuppositions that we must not, that have adversely affected our current disaster of government that we don't want to absorb ourselves. And the only thing harder than learning is unlearning. And we're going to have to unlearn a lot of things.
This is the most transparent administration in history. I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
In America, if we're going to have another shot work out. I mean, learning's easy.
Well,
you pick stuff up, but unlearning?
We see it all the time. How do you tell people? The Federal Reserve isn't federal. There's no reserves, but you tell somebody that, they think you're crazy. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, that's because we measure everything by ourselves. You know, we are the measure of all things. Truth is a product of consensus. You know, and that's not, I mean, that's absurd. That's logically absurd. So what I was going to say is that there's a sentiment in this Continental Congress that I am strongly opposed to. There's this feeling that says, look, we can't say, you know, resist with any and all means necessary, because then we're going to be liable for what other people might do. Okay? That logic, as well-meaning as the person that says that might be, that logic is carrying over the central control of human beings by an elite body idea to Continental Congress. And that is exactly what we're against. Every human being is autonomous. Every human being is responsible for their own actions. This body can't make anybody do anything. This Continental Congress is not responsible for anyone's actions. Everyone is responsible for their own actions. We can all get together and pledge to one another what we're going to do and muster mutual courage out of like-minded people being alongside you. But that's just more collectivism to say, oh my goodness, if we say the government is breaking the law and somebody goes and starts shooting judges or something, then we're liable for that.
No, no, no. We don't own that person. We're against the concept of a group of people controlling other people. That's totally contrary. So that person, whoever says that, needs to unlearn. They need to unlearn the model and the mindset of a central body controlling the others.
Well, that's just pretty nonsensical. I tell people all the
time. Hey, man, it doesn't matter if it's nonsensical.
No, but beyond
it's what
that,
you're used to.
Beyond that,
people say,
I tell people, it doesn't sound weird to them if they say it all their life. If I don't care who comes into my house and tries to endanger me, I don't care what badge he has or if he's a criminal or whoever. As far as I'm concerned, he's threatening my life. He's threatening the life of my family. And if I have the opportunity, I'm going to shoot him.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm then responsible for anyone that does such a thing? That's ludicrous.
I know.
But you and I know that. It's going to be the responsibility of the Continental Congress to provide some action steps to help educate people and some talking points that we can, the left and right.
Yeah.
They're really good at their talking points.
What kind of dictator do you want? Conservative or liberal?
Let's look at the health debate issue. I'm flipping. I'm watching C-SPAN until I can't take it anymore. I change, but I can't keep coming back. And right before they all voted, despite overwhelming opposition to the American people, it was as if they're reading a script. Somebody handed each side.
What makes you think they're not?
Oh, no, I know. I think they are. I know they are. But somebody hands them a script and says, here are your talking points. And it's talking points for deception. Why not talking points for truth? Talking points that we can use with our neighbors and our friends, with websites and videos that we can mm-hmm. just say, here, watch this, or here's a sheet of paper, some websites you should go to. Mm-hmm. You need to check this out. And help them educate themselves. I grew up in government education, which education, I use the term loosely.
It was conditioning. It was conditioning.
And
indoctrination's a little too...
I agree with it. You're right on the edge of indoctrination, but that's what
people will react if you say indoctrination. If you say I grew up in the government schools, which was conditioning me to operate the way they want me to in the society that they envisioned, people will be like, crap, yeah, that happened to me. Those jerks.
Yeah. Well, they continually came back with the refusal to answer the question why. Like our government's doing now. My teachers would never answer the question, why? Why do I need to learn algebra? Because it teaches you to problem solve. But they just shut up and learn it. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to.
Why do you need a hall pass? Because you need to learn how to ask permission.
Exactly.
You know
I don't. It is. There's a lot of conditioning.
If you're going to have a cookie, you've got to share it with everyone.
So we...
If I've got a cookie, maybe I'll divide it up and sell it.
Well, are we?
You know,
or trade it,
barter.
For, I want the cupcake.
So what that does to a little kid is, boom, Marxism, at an impressionable age by an authority figure. God gave children to families, not to the state.
Well, I always hated. I've never been a fan of collectivism. Growing up and
having
it's
contrary to your nature.
Well, it is, and growing up, but a lot of people seem to like it. There's such a group of people out there that like it, and we. In school, we'd have to work in groups. What mm-hmm. a silly concept!
Yeah.
When you go out into the workforce, you don't have to. You don't work in groups. You may work as a team to get a project done.
Yeah.
But you have your task that is yours and yours alone. And if you don't do it, you're fired.
Yeah.
But in school, I'm working in a group and I'm doing all the work because they learned real quick that someone will step up and do all the work. And I wanted to get a good grade, so I'm going to do the work and. Forget it, you know, fine, here, I'll put your name on it. I'm glad you helped so much. But
yeah.
that's our whole society.
Yeah, this is demoralizing. Communism is actually a really good system for the couple of fat cats at the top. And so is fascism, which we need to define those terms. Communism is where the state owns and controls industry. Okay? Fascism is where private individuals own, but the state controls.
Nothing you can do about it, might as well face it. Disagree with anything you label racist. Welcome to the place. Welcome to the place of the left's hypocrisy. Little pink houses for you and me. Welcome to the face.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
So right now, the debate in America is not about freedom in the mainstream debate. It's about fascism versus communism. Should there be private ownership? It's just assumed that there should be public control. It is absolutely contrary to the basic principle of property. Now, let me give you one parting point, and then I got to get to a committee meeting. All right? Don't trust this Congress any more than our current Congress. Let me tell you why. Because power corrupts, and it corrupts your judgment before it corrupts your morals. And people are not designed to control and dominate and manage other people. And there is enough carryover, stuff that hasn't been unlearned by people in this body, that there is a feeling within Continental Congress that we, as Continental Congress, would do a way better job of the task that ought not to be done, which is to manage and run people's lives. Continental Congress, if Continental Congress tries to be the new dictator, if there's a void and Continental Congress rises up as the new dictator, everyone out there who's watching this right now has just as much of a duty to disobey Continental Congress as they did the U.S. tyrannical federal Congress. Do you hear that? Let me say that again. This body is just as much of a liability to your freedom as the last one because of how it's structured. The only way for governments to function is for them to be absolutely crippled. And that's what the Constitution did. And the Founding Fathers, some of them said, no, we don't even want a government. And you know, God told the Israelites, no, don't have a government. All you need is a militia and a court. And the only time, you know, when you have a dispute between one another, you come before the court. And other than that, there's no government. You don't need it. Everything else, just free market takes care of himself. That was the Old Testament suggestion. All right? Now, the Founding Fathers, what they said is, if we don't create I won't speak to whether I think this was right or not, because I'm not settled on that. But the logic that they gave is, if we don't create a government, somebody will. So the best we can do to preserve
liberty in a fallen world is to create a government and instantly cripple it with the Constitution. And that's what it did. But the Constitution is not enforceable. So it's up to us to just learn to never kiss the ring, never bow the knee to Caesar, never commit the highest form of idolatry by putting a man or a group of men or a government in the place of God and natural law. There's a new religion in this country, and the God of this religion is government, and the priests are the legislators, and legislation is the sacrament, and people have a deep, deep, sincere faith in this new God that they learned in school. And they really believe that if the right combination of those rituals, those legislative rituals performed by their priests can be performed, that any problem can be solved. And you know where the fallacy in this is? Is that God never creates an authority that is autonomous from Him. He created natural law, common law, to rule over us. And any time that a government gets out from under that, when they run off in rebellion, they automatically forfeit, nullify, lose by default their authority. So we have a government that's run amok, that's using arbitrary force, not law. They don't care what the law says. All they care is what they have the power to do. And they don't have any authority. They don't have the authority. They have the power. And those are totally different. Authority and power are totally different. Declaration of Independence says all just powers are derived by the consent of the governed. They don't have the and that's any. If you don't consent, it's all voluntarism. It's all about voluntarism. They've forfeited their authority, and we have a duty. We have a duty to disobey. And here's why. Because if we are complacent, if we stand by, if we allow them to intimidate us into silence while they break the laws of the universe, the blood that our government spills is to a certain degree on our hands. And that is not a guilt that I want to bear on my conscience. I will risk the consequences. I will put my family in danger. I will put myself in danger before I will blacken my conscience with a silence about my government's lawless conduct. And I call on everybody out there. That is an individual choice. That's up to you. Nobody can make that for you. You don't need to wait for Continental Congress to tell you to do that. You are a human being who has a moral obligation to your own conscience to do what's right, and nobody can make that decision but you. And I'd ask you to do that right now. Be free. I gotta go.
Well, thanks for your time. This is Schaefer Cox, delegate from Alaska. If ever there was a reason to visit, if not move there, this guy's like this. And
I'm pretty typical.
Well,
in Alaska.
We've had a good time talking to you and watching your speeches, but. We're at the Continental Congress Live. We're having a good time, and they're still going.
We're going to get those articles of association out, or compact of mutual support, or whatever it is. But for all of you who are out there who made that decision, that document hopefully will be for you. It might be a pansy-mamby thing, and then we're just back to us by ourselves, which is okay, because we got to do right no matter what. But I'm going to do my very best to make sure that it is... It's not a wuss of a document.
Well, cc2009.us is where you can get involved and also tell your friends.
All right, we'll see you.
I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing.
Our Constitution is a remarkable, beautiful gift.
I'm a sailor, that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
A decades-long survey conducted by the Pew Research Center shows that in the early 1960s, 75% of the American population trusted the federal government. The same study shows that today, that number has dwindled to only 20%. The story you're about to hear is a prime example of why.
We're all here for the same reason. It's because we know in our gut that something is horribly wrong.
Meet Schaefer Cox, the liberty-loving, patriotism-preaching political prisoner that you've probably never heard of. Before he caught the attention of the FBI and other federal entities, by all accounts, Schaefer Cox was an upstanding citizen and a pillar of the community. Son of a Baptist minister, Schaefer Cox was raised with conservative Christian values. He enjoyed hunting and fishing and taking advantage of all the outdoor adventure Alaska had to offer. By his early 20s, Schaefer was an accomplished businessman operating his small construction company there in Fairbanks, Alaska, making an honest living. Ever mindful of his civic duty, Schaefer wanted to make a difference. In 2008, he spoke at the Alaska Republican Convention. He had command of the crowd, and the highly respected lieutenant governor spontaneously asked him to run for office from the convention floor, so he did. He came in second place in the Republican primary with 38% of the vote in a three-way race.
People are asking for some direction and for some leadership and for some solutions that they can do, because they've figured out that voting doesn't work. They've figured out that sending letters to your congressman doesn't work. And they're grasping for what's the next option.
He continued to speak at events across Alaska and other states. Schaefer talked a lot about the Constitution and about liberty and freedom. He covered a wide range of topics, including the Federal Reserve, federal overreach, and yes, the Second Amendment.
We're pushing for the first and foremost, the Alaska Firearms Freedom Act. It's a declaratory piece of legislation that says a firearm or a firearm accessory or ammunition that's manufactured within the state and stays in the state is none of the federal government's jurisdiction under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution.
He was becoming a fast rising star in the liberty movement, and although the crowds were getting larger and larger, his message remained the same. The government should obey the Constitution, the document it refers to as the supreme law of the land.
God gave every man the right to life, liberty, and property, a corresponding obligation to defend those rights. We delegate that responsibility, not entirely, but in part, to a government, to do what we have a natural right to do, which is to protect them. But they've become a liability to that. It's nobody's job but our own to make sure that the government doesn't become detrimental to the purpose which we created it.
We have no obligation to submit to a government that refuses to submit to their governing document.
But Schaefer didn't just talk, he acted. He started groups like the Liberty Bell System.
The Liberty Bell System is an automatic phone system where every freedom lover in Fairbanks can be instantly accessible to the others. Here's how it works. If you are being harmed by anyone who is breaking one of these laws, you can ring the Liberty Bell. Just call the Liberty Bell operator, who will then send a message instantly to thousands of people in Fairbanks who are willing to assist you.
The Second Amendment Task Force.
The way that this got started was several weeks ago, I was doing a radio show and I wasn't even talking about firearms. I was talking about economics. But somebody called the station after the show was over and said, hey, what are we going to do about all these firearms restrictions that just keep coming down the pipe? It's like they just never end. And I said, well, I don't know. Let's get together and talk about it at Denny's on Monday night. And 150 people showed up. And I was expecting maybe 18 or 20. A week later, we only had a week to organize, but we found a place big enough to meet, and we wound up with 700 people.
And the Alaska Peacemakers Militia.
You know what the militia is? The militia is anybody with a gun and a conscience. It's anybody who values their freedom and the freedom of their neighbor. It's somebody who's got that sense of duty to their fellow countrymen. It's beautiful, and it's right, and it's good. And there are 3,500 armed, well-trained men under my command in Fairbanks right now. And they are...
According to FBI agent Richard Sutherland, It was those words that drew the attention of the FBI. Where could Schaefer Cox have gotten the crazy idea that it was okay to create a well-regulated militia? Well, for those of you that don't know, that idea is straight out of the supreme law of the land, the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. It was at that point that the FBI hired career criminal Gerald J.R. Olson to try to get some dirt on Schaefer Cox. Not only did the feds give money to Olson, they also helped him out of some legal trouble he was in for stealing a tractor. Here's a clip of Olson describing some of his past criminal history in court.
Who were you transporting drugs for on those two occasions you talked about?
It was a Hell's Angels biker club gang.
After over a year of investigation, two separate U.S. attorneys reviewed the FBI's findings and both came to the same conclusion. Schaefer Cox was not a threat and there should be no legal action. The FBI should have dropped it right then and there, but they didn't. Instead, they decided to try a different tactic. Provocation. Knowing full well that Schaefer's young son, Seth, was loved and well taken care of, the FBI called in a tip to the Office of Children's Services, hoping to incite a shootout, according to witnesses. At the same time, the feds deployed paid informant William Drop Zone Bill Fulton under the direction of FBI Special Agent Sandra Klein to, among other things, goad Cox along and convince him that he needed to take a stand and defend his son from the government at all costs. The plan was to provoke the peacekeeper to violence and set the stage for a shootout.
What the supervising agent had said, quote, "Our plan is to try to take Seth away from Schaefer and Martin, and we believe that will be sufficient to elicit a display of force, at which point we will shoot all three of them."
After repeated unsuccessful attempts to convince Schaefer to commit violence, Fulton went from provocation to intimidation. Fulton went as far as threatening Cox's life and admittedly put a knife to the throat of Schaefer's friend Les Zerbe during a meeting with Zerbe and Cox, and outright demanded, knife in hand, that Cox come up with a plan to murder officials.
And I'm like, look, Les, what's your plan? And he's like, well, we don't have a plan. I just f***ing lost it. I literally grabbed a knife, started coming over the counter, and I was like,
suspecting foul play by the FBI, OCS, and other agencies, and fearing for their lives from Drop Zone Bill Fulton, Schaefer Cox and his wife went to the military police station at Fort Wainwright outside of Fairbanks. Military policeman Stephen Gibson told Schaefer that federal agents had come into the station and bragged about how they were going to, quote, fix the Schaefer Cox problem. In light of all this, Schaefer decided the best thing to do would be to leave town. With his wife and kids in tow, Schaefer was headed out of Fairbanks to Canada when FBI informant J.R. Olson stole the battery out of Cox's vehicle. With the vehicle successfully sabotaged, informant Olson tricked Schaefer and his family into taking refuge from informant Bill Fulton in Olson's attic until he could supposedly get his trucker friend to safely transport the Cox family to Canada. Olson kept the Cox family in his attic under false pretenses for 21 days, which met all the legal requirements for kidnapping, according to attorney Robert John, and gave the feds plenty of time to plan their strategy. On March 10th, 2011, Olson took Schaefer to a deserted industrial lot in Fairbanks, where the trucker was supposedly waiting, but instead, the FBI ambushed and arrested Schaefer Cox. It's worth mentioning that this case was first tried at the state level, where the case was thrown out. But the feds had an axe to grind, and he was instantly reindicted on a federal level. The Justice Department knew it was going to take a very specialized prosecution team to obtain a conviction. Luckily, they knew just who to appoint to Schaefer Cox's case. Meet Joseph Bettini. Bettini first made headlines as a federal prosecutor after his unconstitutional and illegal activity in the case of Senator Ted Stevens. United States District Judge Emmett Sullivan said that in his 25-year career, he had never seen mishandling and misconduct like what he had seen by the Justice Department prosecutors who tried Stevens' case. Bottini and his co-conspirator prosecutors were held in contempt for their deceptive and illegal tactics, which included withholding exculpatory evidence,
evidence that favored the defense, and allowing false testimony. Judge Sullivan ordered special counsel Henry Schulke to investigate Joseph Bettini and the other federal prosecutors in Senator Stevens' case. It was only months before Schaefer's trial started that special counsel Schulke testified before Congress about the entire sordid affair of Senator Stevens' prosecution.
The thing that disturbs me so greatly is not that this prosecution involved a United States senator, because I doubt we would be having this hearing if it involved a citizen who was not a United States senator. And that disturbs me greatly. And how do we know? How does any citizen know that the Department of Justice won't abide by similar prosecutorial misconduct in the future?
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Senator Stevens, loved and respected by his constituents, had an honorable 40-year-long service as the Republican senator from Alaska until a corrupt faction of the Justice Department unleashed this team of federal prosecutors, Joseph Bettini in particular, who destroyed his name and his career. Even far-left Democrats were able to muster a tiny bit of outrage.
This is some pretty awful conduct by the prosecutors, I think. They're just appalling.
One thing I'd like to know, first of all, do you think that what the prosecutors did is, you know, is it illegal?
I think what occurred in this case in a number of instances was in violation of an obligation imposed by the courts. And so, using your term broadly, I would have to say it was illegal.
Unfortunately, the illegal actions of Bettini and his co-workers were enough to secure a guilty verdict only 8 days before the election, and Senator Ted Stevens narrowly lost.
I look only forward, and I still see the day when I can remove the cloud that currently surrounds me.
Sadly, Senator Stevens never got the chance to clear his name because he died only months later in a questionable plane crash. The outrage and public scrutiny surrounding the Stevens case still lingered as Schaefer Cox's federal trial got underway less than a year later. Sensing that perhaps Bettini had lost all credibility, the Justice Department named Steve Scrocchi as co-prosecutor. Scrocchi, equally complicit but perhaps less adept at judicial misconduct, would become the face of the prosecution. Joseph Bettini frequently whispered instructions to Scrocchi throughout the entire trial, and as if from a playbook, the same tactics that Judge Sullivan had been so angered by in the Ted Stevens case were employed time and time again in the Schaefer Cox case. Withhold exculpatory evidence, allow false testimony, rinse and repeat. Out of the hundreds of hours of recorded audio that the paid informants collected, you would think they contained a smoking gun. As it turns out, for some strange reason, the prosecutors asked the judge to make all the tapes inadmissible. They wanted their own surveillance kept secret, all of it except the clips they cherry-picked. Another blatant example of withholding exculpatory evidence. Subsequently released audio recordings and emails between co-prosecutor Steve Scrocchi and U.S. Attorney Karen Loeffler, Scrocchi's boss, show that Scrocchi coached his witnesses to lie, then backed up the lies with his closing arguments. Another blatant example of allowing false testimony. The entire case was built primarily on the testimony of career criminal and conman J.R. Olson, knife-wielding provocateur Bill Fulton, and cherry-picked, out-of-context evidence. In the end, their playbook proved successful, and Schaefer Cox was found guilty of conspiracy to kill federal agents. It turns out there's a special place that the DOJ sends people with, in their own words, inspirational significance. It's called the Communications Management Unit, or CMU.
It says inspirational significance. I think that's a very benign way of saying that the people are there because of their political beliefs.
Only one journalist, William Potter, has ever been allowed in the CMU.
There are two CMUs. One was opened inside the prison in Terre Haute, Indiana, and the other is inside this prison in Marion, Illinois. Neither of them underwent the formal review process that is required by law when they were opened.
As a result, Potter wound up on an FBI watch list. Fortunately, Schaefer Cox was able to file an appeal with the federal Ninth Circuit Court. The first hearing of the appeal was held just days ago on August 16, 2017 in Anchorage, Alaska. At that time, the judges heard oral arguments and had some interesting questions for the prosecution, represented by Steve Scrocchi.
If soliciting someone to kill someone who doesn't exist isn't sufficient, under FIOLA, under whatever, if that is not enough, what other evidence is there of solicitation specifically?
Can you cite me or the panel to any case that have facts analogous to this?
I think if we would have found it, we would have provided it to you, Your Honor.
Exactly. There isn't any such case, is there?
No.
But you're effectively asking us either to make new law or conclude there's not sufficient evidence on this point, right?
Suppose I have a direct intention to kill Mickey Mouse, and I go solicit somebody to kill Mickey Mouse. Well, there's no Mickey Mouse to kill. Can you still have a solicitation?
So free, oh, oh.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.